"Now, now, Catalan locksmith," Charon told her as he handed a new cone to a delighted little ponytailed girl. "That is no way of greeting an old family friend, especially one who just saved your life." His fingers, she noticed, were like long white worms. Charon stood there, smug in his unburnt state. Catalin reflected on her situation.
"Well, fuck,"
she thought.
"But the legend,"
she said.
"No dark avatar shall wander mortal realms."
"As long as the light shines over them. Yes, quite. The thing is, the light can't shine everywhere. And even in Ivalis there are blind spots. This particular realm, though, has been missing its divinities, on both sides of the spectrum, for a couple hundred years now. Free for the taking, right? I've grown quite fond of the place. I like to stop here for breakfast before work."
Since the boatman had his attention focused elsewhere, the group of children slowly drifted away, their multicolored lard cones melting over their hands.
"On the bright side,"
Catalin thought,
"at least those kids won't be anywhere near him for now."
She then realized, with dawning horror, that a boy and a girl remained behind. They eyed the open back doors of Charon's wagon with mischievous grins. Despite Catalin's screams trying to warn them, the kids inched forward past Charon's back, their gazes never leaving the promised treasures of the wagon's interior, which appeared entirely black to Catalin. Her hands passed through the kid's shoulders like a ghost. After the last kid, the boy, had climbed inside the wagon, the doors closed on their own. No one noticed, except for Catalin.
"Let them go!"
"Oh, don't you worry. The girl, Sarah, is about to go on an amazing adventure. Sarah will find herself in a world she'll grow to love, and she'll likely become a legendary hero. A good old time all around."
"And the boy?"
"Diego? His adventure will be a bit shorter, I'm afraid."
Catalin lunged to attack the boatman, but she was a ghost to him too, and she couldn't harm him.
"Anyway,"
Charon went on once Catalin had worn herself out,
"as I was saying, I brought you here to save your life."
"I don't want your help, aberration. Whatever pact you have to offer, I reject it."
"Smart decision, but irrelevant. The pact is already made. Your father made it, you see, right before he went and plunged Staravos into war."
"Torst would never have wasted resources on protecting me."
Charon shrugged.
"People are complex. Figuring them out is Murmur's thing, not mine. Good old Torst made his pact and added a small amount of protection for his descendants into his conditions. Definitely not enough to be wasted on trivial thief matters. It is protection meant for something a bit bigger than that."
"This is a trivial thief matter,"
Catalin told him.
"Some cultists and an asshole ex-partner that sold me out to them. I've survived worse. I don't need your help, monster."
"Yes. Thing is, you're sadly misinformed. Your captors aren't cultists. In fact, they think of themselves as freedom fighters vying for Staravos' independence. Which is a bit ironic, and kind of fitting, given that their country's lack of freedom is your family's fault. In a way."
Charon winked at her, which was a hard feat given that he had no visible eyelids.
"See, Catalin, you aren't getting my help. Not even Torst Locksmith would have had something valuable enough to exchange for my direct intervention. Instead, I'll find you a nearby ally of about your level of experience points. A young man who owes me a small favor. I'll bring this ally to you in time to assist you in your darkest hour, which should come..."
He glanced up at the sky.
"In about 6 to 7 hours, give or take.